bumming with Bob. Let's have a few brews. We'll have some fun with the bum wine crew. So kick your feet up and grab you a beer. 'Cause damn, man, I'm glad that you're here.
All right, all right, all right. This is Bumwide Bob. Welcome to an all-new edition of Bumming with Bobcat. And joining the show this week, she's one of the hottest newcomers in the adult industry, an AVN and XBiz Award-nominated artist and featured dancer, Miss Caitlin Bell, joins the show this week. Caitlin, how are you today?
Hi, guys. I'm doing great. I'm not, like, freezing for once.
Well, luckily, I mean...
Cold, what, but not freezing.
Okay, well, right. You're out in Vegas, right?
Yes, Las Vegas, okay. Nevada.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's... I don't know, the weather... I mean, I'm on the East Coast. So I'm in New Jersey. So we've been kind of back and forth with the weather. We're at 41 degrees now, but it's been hit and miss.
But you guys are at least used to that. You know that it's coming. We had snow last week. Did not see that coming.
No. Right, you don't expect that. You think Vegas warm weather, the heat. I mean, I was out in Vegas maybe eight years ago, and I mean that was in October, and even then it was still hot, the dry heat, which I wasn't used to, because it's a different heat there than we get on the East Coast in summer with the humidity and all that stuff. So, but yeah, for you, has it been constantly cold there, or is it you get some cold days, some warm days? So, I mean, would it be like they can open the pool next weekend and you get, okay, some warm days and a few days are cold?
So, yeah, it is. It's definitely been hit or miss. It's been more on the cold side, though, and it's gotten progressively colder instead of progressively warmer. And then it snowed out of nowhere. But we did take advantage of Lee Canyon. I didn't know there was a ski resort an hour away from me, which is really cool. But a lot of my friends do have this misconception. They're like, you're in the desert. It gets cold.
Yeah. Like, you think desert heat all year round. There's no off season for the desert. It's just hot no matter what.
No, never. It's just hot.
Yeah. It's like a lot of places like Florida, they're like, they get to 60 and that's freezing. And I was down there last month and
it was cold.
It was, I mean, we had some nice days. We had mid 80s and it was beautiful weather. And the day I left, it was 60s and raining. And compared to here, where it's like 40, 60 there, it is freezing. So I understand now when people in Florida are like, oh, wow, it's 60 and they're freezing. And I think I'm like, 60, that's nothing. I'd love for it to be 60 out now.
Yeah, right.
But when you're down there,
you'd be dancing out in your underwear.
Yeah, I know. But when you're down there for a week and you're in 85 degree weather all the time, then it hits 60, you're like, holy shit, this is cold. So I understand it, guys. I get it now.
And I hate it because in Vegas, they overcompensate. They do it in Florida too with their air conditioning system. So you're freezing when you're going into all these restaurants because it's so cold.
Yeah, you're shocked.
Yeah.
It's a shock you go through. You're like, holy shit, it is freezing in here. It's like, okay, it can be cool in here, but we don't need it to be that cold, guys. You can bump up the temperature a little bit. We'll be okay. Yeah, we'll survive. Yeah, we'll survive. So I have to ask you, what are you drinking tonight? What do you got with you?
Right here I have a Apothic Red, very fancy.
Okay. No, okay.
I love reds, Pinot Noirs, Cabernet. This is a cab, I believe, or a blend. I love red wine. I just don't like it. These big old lips absorb everything, so by the end of this podcast my lips will be purple. There's nothing I can do about it. I could have one drink, I could have 50, it's the same thing. And I have such great friends, they always tell me that my lips are purple. No, they don't. I wake up the next day, you know, that wine mouth.
Yeah,
in the mirror and you're like, I have no friends.
Why did nobody, you go back, you see the pictures from the night before, you're like, why did nobody tell me that my lips were this purple?
Because they,
like,
all have the same, they all have the same lips.
Yeah, if you don't notice it, or you can always say, oh, it was dark, you know, where depending on where you were, okay, the lighting wasn't good, you couldn't tell. And you're like, well, look, I just saw the picture. I can see it, but hey. So is that is I have here. Now I'm not as high class as you tonight because I deal with the bottom shelf and the best of the worst and cheap booze here. So I have here. I don't know if you've gone down this road before. Maybe this. I have some Mickey's Fine Malt Liquor.
Oh my God!
Here. So this is the. I was gonna say. I mean, I was gonna say. Have you gone down that road before? Maybe not recently for you, but this is.
Yeah, definitely about 20 years ago went down that road.
Okay. But
have you ever heard of Edward 40 Hands?
Oh yeah, I've partaken in the festivities of an Edward 40 Hands before.
That reminds me of Edward 40 Hands.
Yeah. I've done that quite a few times. No. It's all good. And this, since right now we're doing the 2023, the Battle of the Booze Tournament for the website at bumwinebob.com. So every year we have a bracket with 64 different beverages, all bottom shelf, cheap stuff, beers, malt liquor, malt beverages like Four Locos, things like that. And put the polls up, people vote on them. And then we see which one becomes the champion. And Mickey's was the 2022 champion. So as we're kicking off this year's tournament, I'm celebrating with last year's champion. So it's fun.
Does Mad Dog 2020 ever make it on there?
It is on the list. Did you have a favorite MD 2020 variety?
No. My thing was Hypnotic. Do you remember that Hypnotic?
Yes.
I can't even smell it, but that pretty bottle and that fruity like flavor.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I had friends in like my college days that were very big into that. You'd go to parties and they always had the bottle of Hypnotic on the counter, drinking it, passing it around. And it's very similar to the MD 2020. It's that very sweet, cheap. I guess it's technically a wine.
I don't even think it's sugar. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what they put in it. I mean, it's been probably 15 years or so since I probably had it at the least. But yeah, that was an interesting one. I know I still see it on the shelves when you go into the store sometimes and you pass it and you look at it and you're like, oh wow, how long has that been sitting there? Who is anybody still buying this? Is anybody still buying this stuff anymore? It's like you keep tracking it, like, okay, every time you go in, you look at that same bottle, okay, is that the same one that was there the last time? Yeah, that's always what you find out. You find out when you deal with this cheap stuff how much dust is on the bottles. You can track it. So, okay, this has been here for 5 years, 10 years. You keep going down the line.
Just measure the dust.
Yeah. Some of them you pick up when you're like me and some of my buddies, we go out there, we go searching for like the cheap, the rare stuff that you can't really find anymore. And you go down there, searching.
You're trying to kill yourself?
It's all for the fun. It's all for science here, people. This is what we do. it's all for science to find this stuff, to try it out. So you never know. You go into some shady stores. And you creep down, you look at the bottom, and yeah, there it is, right against the floor. You got to wipe off the dust on it, and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that's vintage. What's that? 2005? Okay.
I'm going to start saying, it's just vintage. It's not old. It's just vintage.
It's vintage.
Totally fine.
That makes it sound classy. You say vintage, and people think that's cool. Anything these days, you say vintage. Or something.
And it's totally acceptable.
Yeah, nostalgia. I mean, that's always the big thing now. I mean, nostalgia is always big. So you say anything's vintage, or don't say old, vintage, nostalgic, and then you're
when
good to go.
When I get old, I'm going to be like, I'm just vintage.
Exactly. There
I'm
you go.
I'm not old. I'm a fine wine.
Exactly. See, it gets better with age. So you're all set. I mean, what's your go-to? I mean, are you usually a wine drinker off it, or do you switch it up? No, I mean, in general, on your regular, I know that, but I mean, just in general of on your going out with friends or hanging out, what's your usual go-to drinks?
It depends. So if I'm just going out to dinner and having a classy time out, it's red wine or white. If I'm going balls to the wall and I'm about to have some fun, tequila. And if I'm at a high-end restaurant, of course, red wine or martini. But if I'm at a dive bar, I like a good gin and tonic. They can't screw that.
Okay. You hope not. I mean, that you keep it basic enough. You're like, okay, gin and tonic.
And I only
okay,
drink Casamigos.
Yeah, like, I was going to say, you really can't screw it up. I mean, hopefully not. No. I mean, it could happen, but you never know. So the Casamigos is your the Casamigos is your go-to tequila?
It is. Patron can burn. That is the most disgusting tequila I've ever had. But Casamigos is really good. And what's that Casa Azul, that really pretty bottle?
Okay.
The white and blue one.
Okay.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Now, was that, now, I don't know if you can go into it, but I know previously before getting into the adult industry that you used to do promotions with some tequila brands. Was it that or was it other ones or I don't know if, I don't know if you can disclose, I don't know if you can disclose anything.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. Of course, my life is an open book. It was called Dos Lunas Tequila. It was actually one of the best tequilas I've ever had. It's just marketing. You got to market. It was this rich guy who wanted to make a tequila, and he needed a girl to sell it and market it. And he sent me all over the country when I was 22, and that's what I did. I had a case of Reposado, Blanco, and Añejo at all times. And yeah, I went around promoting it, but it's just like anything. Like Patron is actually shit. They're just really good at marketing it.
Yeah. That's usually a lot of the big brands that get the promotion are just good at marketing it to people and people will buy into it. Is it necessarily the best? No, it's just they have the most money to spend on promoting it and putting it out front in front of every other brand just to get their money keep
Which
rolling
I
in. If you got the money and you can push it, you know, go for it. Doesn't mean it's good. But people buy into
it. I mean, it's good enough for people to buy.
Yeah, I mean, people buy into it. People buy into the hype.
Trick people into.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, I don't want to say it's bad. I mean, it's, but it's not as good.
You can't take a shot with going,
yeah, I was going to say.
At least I can.
Yeah, it's not as good as the alternatives, we'll say. I mean,
I like alcohol. I like the flavor of it. So when I'm drinking it, I want it to taste good.
Definitely.
I know some people don't like the flavor. I just like the feeling. I like both.
Well, right. Exactly. Well, it goes two different ways because you don't want to have that. You want to have it taste good and like the feeling, but you don't want to take the shot and automatically have it burn your throat and feel like you want to throw up right after just because of the taste of it. It's like, yes, you take the shot, you're getting the alcohol, but it tastes like crap. You want to have something that you can take a shot, it tastes good, and then a couple minutes later, you feel the buzz going through, and you're like, all right, I'm good now. I like this. This is good. Yeah. This is good.
Nice and warm all over.
Exactly. You warm up, you feel good, you loosen up a bit, then the fun starts.
Exactly.
So how long did you do that for, doing working with the tequila and going? So you would go all around promoting the brand, right?
Yeah, I did it for a year. I was in every hotspot, spring break hotspot it started up. And then after that, it was just every major city. So it was a lot of fun because at the time, Real World was a big thing. And the cast was like, I was considered like a celebrity because I was the Dos Lunas girl. So I got to hang out with the cast there, like at all these different places, whoever was the star, I got to hang out with, treated that way. And I was 22. I had a nice car that they gave me in each city and a nice apartment. And I was free as a bird. I had a expense account. And all my job was to dress in sexy outfits and hand out tequila.
you can't go wrong with that. I mean, that sounds like a good time to me. I
mean, it's what paved my way to be right here, right now. Because if I hadn't taken that job, I wouldn't have met all the people I did. I wouldn't have met that horrible ex-fiance of mine. And I wouldn't have joined the industry. It was all a trickling effect.
I was going to say, it all worked out for you. It all comes full circle with one decision. And then while at the time you have to go through different steps to get where you are now where you are, you're happy with it. And, you know, working in the adult industry now for, so what, you're going on pretty much 2 years into it, right? I mean, in 2021?
Yeah, My second year will be in June.
Okay, so close. So I mean, and with the amount of traction you've gained in that time, I mean, I think you have to be amazed and happy with how quick you've kind of rose up in the industry during that time. I mean, was it really anything you ever thought you would do prior to getting into it? Like, did you ever have any aspirations when you were younger thinking, you know, one day I want to do porn, I want to be in the adult industry? It's like, because, you know, it goes, I mean, I've heard it both ways with people I've talked to. Some people are like, from the time I was 13, I knew I was going to do something in the industry. Then some people are like, no, it wasn't until I was in my late 20s it happened. So I've seen it go different ways for some people. So it's like, for you, it just kind of, you know what, let's do it.
No, I had no clue. Actually, everything I've done in my life, I haven't planned everything. It literally, these paths just come, these opportunities, and I just take them and run with it, see what it takes me. And it's taken me here. So as far as traction, thank you. I appreciate you noticing that. I didn't know everyone didn't have the same experience. I think it's because when you really love what you do, people notice that. And people that love exactly what you do will pick that up also because they have the same passion. So how I got into it is I was dating a very horrible person. Forgive him, whatever. Didn't marry him, but he had me like a Rapunzel in a tower. I wasn't allowed to do anything, have friends, all women's gym, extremely controlling. I was young, he was rich, and I thought that's what life was all about. But at the same time he was doing this, he would say that I couldn't go out, blah, 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 blah. Well, he would be out at all hours of the night sometimes, and one day I woke up and I was like, what are you doing? Like, this is not your life. I'm going to go find out where he's at. And sure enough, I was like, if he's at a business meeting, fine. But I knew if he wasn't, that was it. He was parked VIP at the strip club that we used to go to. So which means he's a frequent flyer. So all these times he told me he was at meetings, he was at the strip club. And I love strip clubs. Why not take me? Like, Right. Like, but it was a control thing. He was one of those people. He liked to keep his woman under his thumb, and he could come and do what he wanted. Well, that night I got my dog, Bella, and I took one suitcase and her. I left everything, and I got a shitty hotel room at right next to that strip club, and I started working there.
that's a big F you right there.
Oh yeah, he never showed his face there again, but I did meet the connections to get into escorting. I had met somebody who was like, you seem like you really like it here at the strip club. I'm like, actually, this isn't bad. Like, I love men, and you know, this, I just don't like the cigarette smoke in the 4 a.m. hours. He's like, you know what? I know one of the best girls in the industry. She can teach you what it's like. You can actually pick who you see. You get paid way more, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know what? Why not? She taught me everything I need to know. I've had the safest career possible. And I'm very proud and happy about that. And I was like, I was bored, you know, you did it for 10 years, didn't have any coworkers, just everyone wants someone to bitch about their boss, even if they don't have one.
Yeah.
And COVID hit. And I was like, okay, awesome. The whole world
putting a damper on your business at that point. You're like, oh great, this sucks.
Right. Well, it gave me time to think because nothing was happening. Mm-hmm. And again, another path came. And that was when I was over Atlanta and my friends were like, come to Fort Lauderdale, try something new. So I went there, fell in love. I was going to move there a week later. I was already planning it, picking out hotels, apartments, everything. I get recruited on Twitter by a wonderful man named Michael. And he's from Australia, and he reached out and said, I've been following your, you know, escorting career. Have you ever thought about porn? I'm like, you're fucking crazy. No. And he's like, well, what you got to lose? The world's ending. I'm like, you know what? It might just end. You're right.
Yeah, might as well go for it now while you have the chance. It's like, if you don't try it now, you'll look back and say, I not ever I really done it. Yeah.
And so he... And I said, where do we start? And he goes, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And I was like, are you kidding me? And he goes, why? And I said, because I just left there a week ago and I'm planning to move there. And to me, that was another path to go down that, you know, go down that road. And here I am.
And that was a sign right there. You're like, wow, okay, I can do this right here. Sign me up.
And I wish I would have known that the industry was the way it was, because I would have done this when I turned 18. But then I've also heard that because I'm older and I started older, I've had a different experience than some, because, you know, unfortunately, like, some of these young girls do get taken advantage of by the bad people in the industry. And that sucks, because there's a lot of good in this industry, and I hate that there's those bad out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's everywhere. There's always the bad apples that screw it up for everybody else. And like you said, when you come into the industry later, you're more mature, you have more life experience, you have more knowledge of what to look out for compared to somebody who just turned 18, gets in the industry looking right away for the fame, the fortune, the money, and then they can get in touch with the wrong people who say, oh yeah, we'll take care of this, we'll do all this for you. And then next thing you know, they lead them down the wrong path and all the bad things that go along with that. But for you, you knew at that point, okay, what you're getting into, how to control yourself, know what you need to do, and lead your own path and not have to worry about somebody else trying to, because you just left that of somebody trying to control you for so long.
Yeah.
And now you're like, well, screw that. I'm going to do it my own way. And I'm creating my own path now to take control of my own well-being.
Right. And it's been the greatest thing. And I want to be a voice for girls out there. If they have any questions about the industry or how it should work when it comes to being respected, like, I'm always here. Because it is a great industry and there's really good people, but you got to watch out for those few, because they could really, I've heard them affect girls in a bad way, and they leave scarred, and it just breaks my heart, because I've had a completely different experience. So hearing these stories is, it's eye-opening.
Yeah, so if you can help them out in any way, you feel like you want to, and that would go for anything. It's just like, look, just come to me, talk about it, lead them down the right path with it, and say, okay, stay away from these people. Go over this way. This is what you want to do. You know, don't believe the hype of everything you hear, because, like you said, there is a ton of great people.
There's always in two the stories.
Industry. Exactly. Right. There's a lot of the people I've talked to in the adult industry, they always say that it's great. They love it. Great coworkers, great everything. And like, it's a little fraternity within and sorority in there of everybody who's in
there. I thought
that I was
the only pervert in the world.
Yeah.
I thought I was the only.
Nobody thinks that anybody else thinks the way that they do. And then they see through the, they're like, oh wait, you like this too? They're like, okay, all right,
sometimes
let's do
it. I wonder, like, I'm super hypersexual and I couldn't understand. I'm like, this is who I am. Like, my mom was going to marry Jesus. She was going to be a nun. My parents are no longer with us, but I am nothing like them. Like, straight edge, you know, I am like wild, free.
Wild party. Have a good time.
I love to fuck. I love to be watched being fucked. Like, my sexuality is off the chain. So when I got in the industry, I was like, oh my God, there's people just like me. This is cool.
Right, because you're like, they're all doing the same thing I'm doing. I mean, they're not doing anything different than what you're doing. So it's like, look, wow, we all like doing the same thing.
They finesse their skills, because it is a skill. And I have noticed from 2 years ago to now, the way I fuck, the way I turn, the way my body turns, I can feel my spine switching. Like, I'm in the best shape of my life because of it. And I've noticed it's a skill. It's an art form. And the people that win these awards, they win them because they deserve to. They've put their hard time into it, and they've mastered the skill of porn. And not everyone can do it. Not everyone was born to do it. I'm just proud. I was one of the few that
You're the lucky one that can do it. Because like you said, there's a lot more that goes into it than just getting fucked on camera. I mean, there's threats of people there with you.
Oh,
they're maneuvering you around and everything. And you could see where that could be a mood killer when you're trying to get into a scene and get into the action where somebody's trying like, oh, no, move this way or move that way. So you kind of have to adjust your own mentality with it, because it's not like you're just having sex. You're doing this with a whole bunch of people around you. So I can see it could be intimidating. I mean, at first, I don't know how you were when you first started, when you were like, okay, were you not minding the people around you while you're doing this, or were you like a little taken back a little bit at first? I guess how was your first experiences with it?
So I was an extremely shy person. Like, I'm a Gemini and I seem like I'm very bubbly and outgoing, which I am, but deep inside I was just dying when I would be around social situation. I loved being around them, but the anxiety was up the roof. So when I went to my first scene, the makeup artist was like, sweetheart, you need to stop shaking. I can't do your makeup. I'm like, oh my God, this is happening. Should I run? No, you can't run. You've made it all the way here. And then they turned the camera on and all that anxiety and fear just melted away. And I felt like I was in control of my feelings, my emotions. And no, I feel like a completely different person on set. I still get nervous just a little, but it's more of like an excited nervous versus an anxiety nervous.
Right, right.
But it's opened me up. I am not afraid of the camera. I am that person who, I don't need to picture everyone else naked. I just need them to see me naked. You remember they say that if you're like,
yeah, exactly. Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You want to picture everybody else naked while you're standing there, you know, talking in front of everybody, but you're the opposite of saying, look, you're embracing all the eyes on you of saying, okay, look at me. I'm worth it. Enjoy it. I'm going to make it worth it for you guys.
Yeah. And you can't stress about your imperfections because they're all out there on camera. And then you realize that people don't see those things. You see them in yourself, which is really, really, it feels good, because we all have things that we don't like about ourselves. But because of the industry, I've learned to embrace these things and love myself more than ever.
Yeah, that's perfect, though. That's great to see how you jumped right in to the industry and then pretty much became a natural with it. Because, like you said, it takes getting used to getting filmed on camera, like doing like the most intimate thing really you can do, and now people are sitting around watching you as you're having sex. You're like at first, so it can be, like I said, and I've talked to people that said, you know, at first they're like holy shit, there's all these people around me and I need to perform. Like, I don't know if I can do this, but when you're like, you know, screw it, I'm gonna embrace this. And really just kind of, like they always say, make love to the camera is pretty much what you're doing.
No, that's
just
what
like,
we're doing. That's
yeah,
we're
yeah,
doing.
It's just you're doing that and you're just taking control of it. And now, did you ever have any acting aspirations, or do you think in the future you'd want to go out of porn and go into any? Because porn's acting. I mean, it is. You have your,
you have your
storylines. You have stuff you have to rehearse and go through, and you have to become a character in your scenes. So, I mean, would you ever see yourself wanting to go into actually acting or anything like that?
I mean, it's a lot of fun, but I don't think I'm very good. I don't know if I tried how far I'd make it, because I don't think I'm that great of an actress. I like to, you know, I feel like I'm a fast learner and I'm learning the skills to be a porn star. But as far as an actor is concerned, I don't know if I have the skills for that. That is definitely hard. Portraying to be somebody else and making other people believe it is way harder than it looks. I do that in porn.
I was just saying, because like I said, you have to become a character, you know, in the film. So you have to embrace that role and become that character. So.
And I love that I've never had kids and I've never been married, but I've never cheated on my husband or fucked my son's best friend. More in my life.
Well, let's say that I've talked to you before, but it's like as soon as you're over 27, you're automatically in the MILF like category. That's the whole thing. It's like,
and I joined at 36.
Yeah. So you're in that category, you know, by default, like regardless of how young or old you might look, it's like, okay, well, how old are you? Okay, you're MILF. You're like, well, I don't have any kids or anything like this, or I don't feel like I would be that age. Like, no, don't worry. If you're over 27, you're a MILF. It's like, okay, either you're like teen, like the barely legal teen, or you're a MILF. It's like, right. That's all weird. You have.
I'm like, I'm on set with like an 18-year-old, even 20s. I'm like, I'm like 15 years older than you. Like, you literally could be my kid if I had.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, it's like yes, you could have. Like biologically, yes, you could. It could have happened. It could have really been there. So it's like, yes, in theory, yes, you could be the MILF. It's like, but it would have
been a little secret. It's not a secret, but it's kind of funny. I always used to say when I was younger, oh, I'm just gonna, even when I was an old lady, I'm gonna fuck these young 20-year-olds, you know, hot 20-year-olds my whole life. That's the way it's gonna be. And then I turned 30 and got in my 30s, and I'm like, 20-year-olds don't really have much in common. Yeah, they're hot, but what am I gonna do there? Mm-hmm. And then I got into the industry, and I'm a MILF, and my job is to fuck 20-year-olds.
Yeah, but see, it works out for you in that case, and because that you don't need anything in common with that. It's not like you're going out to a club or a bar somewhere and you meet one of them, exactly. And you're like, oh great, we have to go and talk about stuff and do this. You're like, no, I just do it on camera. And then you do your scene,
and
you
get paid for it.
Exactly. So it works out for you. So you get
I'm the luckiest person in the world.
I was gonna say you get not you, only you am have I that.
20-year-olds, I'm getting paid for it. Like, what?
And that's the American dream right there, everybody.
America.
See, all right. See, USA, right there. That's what you get. See, you join the industry, you go down the right path, and then you can be like Caitlin here and be fucking 20-year-olds and getting paid for it and having a good time. So why not, everybody?
Yeah, right.
So what's
I
what's
write a book, the real American dream.
See, that's it right there. Do it. That could be next for you on the list. The award-winning author next. I mean, I know you're still, you know, hopefully, you know, we can cross our fingers to be the award-winning, you know, adult actress, hopefully in your future. Nice. So, you know, but I know it's tough, like you said.
And if I don't win, I'm totally fine with that.
Just you're having fun with it. Yeah.
I'm having a blast. And it's not about winning for me. It's literally about the experience. And every time I work with these talented people, it's proof to me that I've made it, because I'm getting to work with these amazing talents. And they're not going to pair me with just anyone. So I'm honored.
Now, do you see yourself doing anything other than porn in the near future? I mean, this is pretty much you've gone down this path now. You pretty much carve it out and you're like, all right, I'm in it.
I'm in
the long haul now.
Which is, I think going back to school is great, but just not for me. No, actually, before I joined porn, I was like kind of teeter-tottering, because what you have in escorting, you don't have a support system, really. It's a very isolated type of job. Like, you don't have all these coworkers. Yeah, I had girls that I worked with, but it wasn't like this. And I was like, you know, in dating and just people kind of just making you feel bad. And I'm like, I feel good about myself. I feel like I'm helping people. Like, I'm mentally healthy, sane. Like, this is what I do. And they say you should do things that you love and it doesn't feel like work. So I was kind of teeter-tottering, like, what do I do? And then porn came in and it showed me that I could do this for as long as I want. And I have a support system that's there for me. And they think I'm amazing and I think they're amazing. So I will do this until I can no longer do this.
until they won't have you anymore.
I'm
that's pretty much it. Yeah.
I'm going to keep working out and we'll see. No, I'm not doing anything else.
Yeah. but are you doing the feature dancing at clubs and stuff like that? It's still quote unquote like in the industry, but it's something extra to do along with it. And I know I've seen that a lot more recently. I mean, well, now that, you know, once the COVID things kind of calmed down a bit and people were going out more, and then you see a lot more now of people in the adult industry and or formal. I mean, like you said, you were doing dancing prior to this, so it's not like it's something new for you, but going out to clubs and doing, being a featured dancer and doing like events and things like that.
So I only stripped for 2 months.
Okay, when wow, it was me. I mean, I know you said before about the whole how that started with everything. I was like, was it only that?
I move fast. I'm a fast learner. So when I go into an industry, I find the smartest and best person to connect me to the next best person so that I can make it to where I need to be in a safe and successful way. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did at the strip club. I liked the concept, but I didn't like the 4 a.m.s and I didn't like the smoke. Right. So my answer to that was that client who said, hey, you'd be a great escort. Would you like to meet the top girl in Atlanta? So that's what I did to make that step to. And then I feel like I did my doctorate. I went to college and got my doctorate in sex. And now I'm using my degree. So the feature dancing is really cool because I have very little dancing skills. But because I'm in porn, I still get a crowd to come in. And that's been a whole different experience. Like those 15, 20 minutes on that pole, my heart, that's something I'm not getting used to. I have a panic attack every time I go on stage. My friends have seen it. One of them was like, she's like, is she going to be okay? And the friend who's seen me feature dance was like, just watch her. She'll be fine. She might throw up on the way, but she'll be fine.
Yeah, or right after, as soon as you run away. Okay.
And then once the curtain opens or I walk through, it's just like the camera. Gone. It's like everything. It's a crazy, I wish I could like have it people experience with it. It's like all this anxiety, just, it's like taking a Xanax. Just you're having this anxiety, all this, you know, pressure, and all of a sudden you just feel like this warm, fuzzy person, and I do what I do, and that's either strip or fuck on camera.
And either way, like you said, with the stripping too, once you go out there, you have all the eyes on you. So once again, you get to take all that in, and you know, you have the crowd in the palm of your hands at that point. So there's really nothing for you to be nervous about because you know they're there to see you. You can embrace that and have a good time with it.
Right. And I was really lucky to be a part of Night Moves last year. I hope that they'll invite me back. But that's where they have like some of the best dancers in the world coming to this convention in Tampa. And that is so much fun because you have all the girls there supporting you. And, you know, they're all at the stage screaming. And I don't know, it's just so much fun. I'm like, what am I doing? I feel like I'm a 37-year-old going on 21.
Yeah, it's like a second life for you from when like you got like, into the industry.
suburban life and kids and PTA meetings or whatever they're called, and instead I'm like fucking 20-year-olds
and stripping
in my lingerie. This sounds like a very 20-year-old thing to do, but his life.
Hey, it's like you're having fun with it. You're having a good time with it. It's working out for you. I mean, that's really all you want in life is to have fun, have a good time, whatever works for you. There's no reason to follow somebody else's set schedule you need to do this. Exactly. You have to follow your path. And like you said, your path has gone down many different roads to lead you to where you are now. But if it's working out for you, you keep going with it and have fun with it and see where it takes you next. I mean, what else are you working on? Anything new now, or you're just doing the same? I mean, anything? What's in the works for you that's coming up?
So now, like I've been in for almost 2 years, and I've found my niche, and now I'm starting to shoot content because I know who to shoot content with. So right now, I'm literally just on this content tour of my OnlyFans because I never really paid attention to it till now. So just shooting my OnlyFans content, and I don't really have anything in the works because everything's just finally starting to come together that I don't need to be thinking about anything else. I need to like, you know, really focus on what's in front of me and make it the best it can be. And I don't know, the sky's the limit. Like,
I mean, you're still working on what you're doing. I mean, like I said, you're still only almost 2 years into your journey in the industry. So like you said, you're doing content, OnlyFans content, things like that. And it, in the end, that's really more than enough to keep the content out there, keep it fresh. I mean, because that's what people want these days, is just new content, new things coming out every, if it's every couple of days or a week. I don't know how often you release new stuff.
Oh, they want that shit every day.
I know. I was going to say that if people had it their way, it would be every day or not even multiple times a day if they could have it that way, if it was possible. But yeah, with the world these days, it's just constant content. You have to constantly be posting stuff on social media, getting stuff out there, and just keeping yourself out in the open. You can't go a couple days without posting anything, or people, not that they forget about you, but you get pushed down the feeds in people's Twitter or wherever. It's just how it goes. You have to keep the content flowing, and so to keep doing what you're doing. And really, like I said, it's not that you need to do anything different or new. It's just keep doing what you're doing, and people will just keep.
Yeah.
People will keep following you, subscribing to you.
What I was having trouble with is that because the whole MILF thing, just because I've never seen myself that way, because I've never had children or lived that life. But now that I've embraced it, and I'm like, you know what? I'm really proud to be a MILF. Like, the days of just these young girls being in porn, no, this whole MILF category I heard is taking off. It's been amazing. And it's, like I said, it's shown me that I can do this for the rest of my life. I've met women on set that are 70 years old and like working for Brazzers, you know, loving their life. Like right. Everybody's path is different. Don't judge a single person for what they're doing. Just keep your eyes on your own path, respect others, and do everything with all your heart. And I feel like good things will happen.
That's perfect right there. That right there. That I think you get an award right there just for that monologue of wrapping everything up. So kudos to you. For that. So before we wrap things up here, Caitlin, you want to tell everybody where they can find you?
Oh, just kidding.
Yeah, the laundry list of everything.
Gosh. Another 20-something-year-old thing I'm doing, all this social media thing.
Yeah.
You can find me at my Instagram, which is official Caitlin Bell. You can find me at Twitter, which is Latina Bell XOXO. OnlyFans, Caitlin Bell XXX, and TikTok, Witty Kitty Caitlin Bell.
There you go. Now how many times have you been kicked off TikTok? Has that been a few times yet?
So honestly, I haven't been kicked off yet. My followers grew, and then I just stopped doing it because it's so tedious. But it is important. It does bring, because I'm noticing a lot of content shoots I'm doing, they're like, hey, do you want to do some TikToks too? You know? And I'm like, okay. So I get the concept. It just takes a lot of time. So I'm starting to do it again, but I haven't had it deleted. I've had my Instagram deleted 4 times, and I've had my Twitter deleted 3 times.
Yeah. This is so why you can't have nice things because of this. See, this is what happens. No.
So now I'm following every single rule, even a tiny little nip slip, like nothing.
Yeah, nothing. Not keep it all. I'm yeah.
Like, I'm like, you know, it's so annoying.
I know the exact opposite of what you want to be doing is what you have to do to.
But then there's girls on there with their whole nipples out. You know, I'm just like,
yeah,
can't
yeah, yeah. Okay. And it's like they always say, it's always because you're in the industry and. That's what happens. That's why it gets flagged. Any random person can do it and nobody bats an eye, or they don't get it taken down or kicked off. But you do it because you're in the adult industry. Right away, it gets the alarms go off, red flags go up, and 2 days later, your account's gone. You got to start over again. It's like, is it fair?
Right.
No.
No, but it's not. This is our livelihood. This is our job. Like, we rely on just as much as everyone else does in other industries. So it's not fair. We should have a set of rules for every single person in the world.
Yeah.
If you break them, you're kicked off. Not one person can do this other person can do that. That's not the way it should work.
Exactly. And like you said, as much as you don't want to have to maintain all these different social medias and sites, but that's just the way things are. And some people flock to one format over another, and you have to keep the content flowing to keep people happy, keep them interested, and get those subscribers up to keep supporting you and following you in your path.
Right.
So, well, hey, Caitlin, I appreciate you coming on the podcast and chatting with me, having a nice drink here tonight. It was great chatting with you. I enjoyed hearing your story. Best of luck to you with everything you have going on. I'll be keeping tabs on it, and hopefully we'll have you back on here in the future, and we can catch up and, you know, see where things take you. But hey, thanks again, everybody. Be sure to check her out. She's Caitlin Bell. Check out the social medias. I'll put up all the links for you with the podcast on the website. So don't worry. Yeah, and get out there and get searching too. Get on there. Maybe pick up some hypnotic.
But hey. The point is that I don't drink that anymore.
Okay. All right. We'll see. Maybe next time. Maybe I can twist your arm enough and we can have you crack some open on the podcast. We'll see. Yeah. But hey, Caitlin, thanks again. It was great chatting with you. Be sure to check her out. She's Caitlin Bell. I am Bumwine Bob. And until next time, cheers.
Bye.
I need a beer.